Welcome back to episode 2 of season 6, Asa Gedich here. In this episode, Dancing with Demons, we're joined by Renee Dion, my partner in life, Rocky, where we get into depth about our relationship and what that really means.
Bob Marley's quote about love and dancing with demons.
She's still looking for this quote.
No, find the quote.
I'm gonna
she
find.
Needs this quote. You know, my favorite quote that adds to the dancing with demons is actually her idol's quote.
Oh.
Jay-Z.
Come on.
Jay-Z said, it's when all that thing happened, you know, with Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's easy to leave.
Mm.
I think that's like what Bob Marley was probably getting with.
Yeah,
that
I think
quote.
So. He said something about staying workforce. So I think I came up with the whole dancing with the demons.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking and I can't.
Yeah.
One thing good about, no, that's, I'm still looking now. I'm still looking. Yeah.
And Jay-Z just talks about how it's easy to leave, you know what I mean? Because once you fight with somebody, or you do something wrong, or you wrong them, like, especially for, like, the younger generation, and I'm going to say it, specifically men, it becomes very easy to walk away.
After they done wronged you.
After, because then you don't have to face, you have to face that person. And even as a society, I think that's a hard thing for us, to do something wrong or
hurt somebody that you
hurt
love.
Somebody even
and then stay there and watch them
and then stay there and be there to
oh,
for
we
the
got
healing
that's hard.
That is hard, and that's what he talks about in that interview. How
so is that the dance?
That's the dance.
Mm-hmm.
So you've hurt somebody, yeah.
Right,
and you gotta let
and
them
then you
you're,
stay.
You're both hurt and then you got your demons, right? So you got, the demons are the people, like, so when you, I believe wholeheartedly, like, the books from Eckhart Tolle, when you love somebody, when you truly love somebody, what also shows up is your pain body. Those pain bodies, all the trauma and everything.
Connect.
They also connect. So you can be a vehicle for a spiritual awakening with that person, or you could be, I know all the ways, more than anybody else, to hurt Rocky. And I can use that. And keep hurting her. And that's what we see a lot in relationships. Or I can know that she has her demons, I have my demons. And we're going to dance well together and be able to, I'm not going to trigger her. I know things that are triggering for her is if I get in her face.
So wait a minute. But how did you find out the things? Like you said, I know all the things that hurt her.
I know all the things.
How do you know that?
Because it's like when you get in a relationship with someone, you develop like they start to there's that space. One of the things that we love is that we have that space to finally be able to connect.
That emotional safe space, that is key in a relationship. You can have the body, you can have the material, but if you do not provide an emotional safe space for your partner, there's really no healing and growth. Meaning that if she gives me her deepest, darkest, most hurtful thing that's ever went up for in her life, and she's ever happened in her life, and then I take that information and cock that in a gun and wait for us to get in an argument and then be like, blah, 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 with her own words.
Yeah, you're like this because of your mother, or you're
is
like
that
this
growing
of,
her, yeah. Or yeah. Is that like
you're
tearing
her
down spiritually because she trusted me enough to open up to me and say, you know, I remember a time when this hurt me, da, 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 da. And then I'm like, And then you wait till you get in an argument, you're like, yeah, that's why you like, blah, 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 blah. You like, those are my words that you're actually using against me?
Wow.
But in an emotional safe space, you say, wow, she's going through something right now. I'm gonna give her space. And I oftentimes like to say, like, you just gotta give people time to let them download and process their emotions. It's not like you're necessarily running away, but you're just like, I'm not gonna match her.
Right.
Right?
And that's the demons dancing. So there's things
I'm not gonna match her. I like that.
Yeah, there's things that I could say, she could say, we can go back and forth. And nobody's perfect. You have those moments where you slip into like, oh, okay, you say something hurtful to me, I'm gonna bring up like there's that whole like you bring up different things, and even with that is then you're just like, okay, but how is this adding value?
Mm. So yeah, basically, in episode 2 of season 6, we're going to talk about how it is to dance with our demons and how we met.
Are we recording right now?
Yeah.
Listen, we can't afford not to record.
Yeah.
Shout out, Andre 3000. Ooh. I think this is a beautiful time for me to be a part of this conversation because I'm already in it.
Come on now. Okay. Come on now, sis.
So we not going to disrupt it. Yes, we are recording.
Yes. Okay.
I am with two of my favorite people today, so...
That's what's up.
Who are we talking to?
Yeah.
Okay, so my name is Asa Gedich. Pronounce Asa Gedich really slowly for you. Saga, whatever you would like to say.
Yeah, but make sure you say it. At least attempt to say it. Don't ask for a nickname. But if you want a nickname, my name is Rocky. And that's very interesting, very easy to pronounce. And I am co-founder of Fit to Navigate, but also co-pilot on this Mind Body Gym here on this tour with my friends and my loves. And we're going to just talk about in this episode, number 2, season 6, mm-hmm. Dancing with Demons.
Uh-huh.
And, you know,
and how y'all met.
And how we met.
I mean, I think we said it already. Like, when you talk about Dancing with
and
Demons.
And Renee Dion. Yeah. As a producer and the mind behind this. I want to make sure you know whose voice you also hear. Renee.
Yeah. She was like, look.
You might have heard
guys,
of her music.
We going to mix it up. We going to figure it all out.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you.
Of course. You know, I love you. I love you both so much. But I do have a question.
All right.
Okay. So, you know, we're dealing, this podcast has like 3 pillars, right? Mind, body, gym. Mm-hmm. Not G-Y-M, but G-E-M.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about the mind first.
Okay.
Okay. So, what year did you meet?
We met,
She's the one that's good with the dates.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't got to give me a date.
We met in 2011. We met, and then 2012 again, like kind of circled back. But the thing about it, though, it's weird that you say that because you say meet physically. Mm. But we've been around each other ever since she came almost to Columbus in the 90s, right?
So y'all been circling each other and did not know...
Been circling, right. You know, and this is where you, I guess you would go with timing is key, right? I mean, just to, I ain't even gonna play right here. Like, I literally was a tutor at her middle school,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. Literally was a tutor at her middle school while I was my very young age of being in college.
Yeah.
So that just lets you know already that the age difference. Moving forward from that, then when I started training in Bexley, she was in college at the university directly across the street from my studio. But also, the same place that I went and got my Zen chai, what's it called?
Starbucks?
Yes.
Yeah, you always got the Zen refresh.
Zen refresh. You know, that's just before I started drinking coffee. And we'll go further in how I turned into a coffee snob after having her mother's coffee, Ethiopian coffee, right? So I would go there and just still didn't see her, right? She didn't see me, but she worked there, and I went there every day to get my coffee.
I may have served her.
And said my tea.
You just don't ever see someone until you see somebody.
You just don't see them, right?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, now she's in college years. Her nephew is going to the daycare directly next to where I trained. So she would walk past there and get him from the daycare, and I would still, again, it's just about how you never see people. And then lastly, she would come directly to my studio and take group dance classes.
You know,
I was never here.
You never see people, but you saw her. It just wasn't in the right lens yet.
Right.
Or the lens that God needed
to be honest with it is even no memory.
That's crazy.
Right? There was even no memory. There was no memory of her even coming into my fitness studio, really, because I would leave when the other person was coming to do the dance jam. She was coming from her corporate job, so she was probably always running behind, but I always left early.
Yeah.
that corporate life.
Yeah.
Right. So again, she was in my space, but the timing was right. I never saw her.
And she had trained a lot of the people that like I took classes from. So like everyone spoke highly of her, but I never knew who she was. And then to the point where she talks about just proximity and just about timing. The year before we met, I went to an event, a fitness event, and was interviewed by her sister, because we later found the footage on her phone, was interviewed by her sister, connected with her girlfriend at the time.
This is just too much.
Yeah, connected with her girlfriend at the time, talked to her, talked about coming to her spa, just like fully like fell in love with both of them, but never met Rocky that year. Never, like, I knew of her, but like I was just like, I would take all these classes, and then I just knew I didn't have the oomph yet to take Rocky's class, because I had been doing classes all day. But then the following year, when it was the same event, it was like a all-day fitness event, and Rocky was one of the guest instructors again. And this time, she happened to be newly separated, or had just been just like newly like single, and this time we met.
Yeah, we met this time.
So wait, newly single?
Newly single.
Were you single?
I hold to my, I've never been in a relationship. This is my very first real relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So newly single, but still not looking or anything, and new and freshly hurt, hurting.
Yeah.
Emotionally not available, right? Physically single, but emotionally not available. Yeah. And so she comes into my class that I'm teaching. Group class, and they're, you know, like she said, it was a day of fitness, so there was on this timing thing, and it was kind of like, you know, rotate to do these different classes. And she popped in and was like, hey, I want to take your class. And I'm like,
my friend at that time was like, you have to take Rocky's class, it's the best.
Yeah. So I don't even know,
it will change your life.
I don't even know all
the
this
hype.
Is going
you
on
guys understand the hype.
I mean, but the hype is real.
Okay. It's very real.
So, like, you know, she comes in, you know, I'm trying to get all these people in there because we're on a time schedule, and she's this little thing, and this is like, she's like, I want to take this class. I'm like, have you taken this class before? She's like, no. I'm like, I can't right now. You got to, so I put it out.
The class. Kicked me out.
She kicked you out the class.
Yeah, she kicked me out the class.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, get out of here.
Yeah. I was like, I don't have time to teach you, you know, said it's basically for people who had at least experience at the TRX at that time. And she hadn't. So I didn't want any, my thing was no harm to anyone, right?
Yes,
and then get
absolutely.
To this class. And I know it definitely probably came out. I know for sure it came out the way it did, because at the end of the day, I was sitting under a tent, and then she approaches, and you know, true to who she is, she gonna let you know, like, now I done heard all this hype about you, but
right.
My interaction with you was not nothing nice.
Always gotta give people feedback.
Yeah, so she had to give me the feedback, which is cool, and we end up having a great conversation under the tent, and I was just like, you know, again, just trying to chill by myself. And she brought, you know, she had some questions for me. And I was like, hey, don't you want to go and play fitness guy?
She was trying to almost, like, get me away from her at that point. She was just
But
like,
was this game at this point for you? Like,
no.
Were you like, I just want to know about fitness. So were you like,
Yeah. Like,
attracted? Like, were you kind of like, okay. Or were you just like, no, I just want to know about this fitness life.
Really, that's all it was. Like, honestly. And I think that backstory, like, on me, like, I was fully just fulfilled in life at that point. I was just like, you talk about like what headspace were you in, wasn't seeking a relationship,
mm-hmm.
wasn't looking at her like, oh yeah, this could be a thing,
mm-hmm.
it was a genuine, like, she's just a really cool person once I got over the fact that she kicked me out of the class,
mm-hmm.
and we were just cracking up. It was just like a genuine friendship, and I was just like, also I had been looking for something different. I had gotten my group fitness certification at the time. And I was like, I had never seen, every time I had gone into these establishments, I had been the only black person there. And she knows what that's like.
Yeah.
Every time I go to a yoga class, every time I would go, I was doing a lot of fitness at the time, and I didn't see a lot of black people there. So I gravitated towards her because, one, she's black and she's a leader in the industry. Everybody respected her. It was just like, she wasn't new to this.
You know respects what I mean?
Respects. Still respects. Mad respect.
Yes,
mad respect. You know what I mean?
Girl, with honor.
Yeah.
With some respect on the name.
And so that was the thing that was like, oh, she got her own space. You know what I mean? It was just like, it was everything that, like, it was from a pure, like, admiration of what somebody was doing and wanting to be like, I want some of that. Like, I want to do fitness and health and wellness. And I don't know what that's going to look like, but I know I want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so that day kind of like, you know, just ended in just good conversation, even though I tried to, like, you know, tell her, go shoo her away. But it ended up a cool conversation. And I, later on, that's at the end of the summer, I was hosting my own fitness event, which was back in the day was called Fitness in the City. And basically what I did was an outside event that allowed people who did, again, have access to fitness or be able to pay for it. With some of my partners at the time, I was a Lululemon ambassador. And they helped sponsor this event where we had a day of just fitness and we brought families out and there was all kinds of things. And I invited her and she came. Yeah. And she came obviously and participated with Rachel, who was doing dance gym, and she was great to leave. And I was like, hey,
I was obsessed with dance at that time.
Yeah. And I was like, I am doing a boot camp and it's gonna be different, you know, do you mind staying? She was like, yeah, I'll stay. So
okay, she was like, how you gonna stay for everybody else class, but you gonna leave for mine? That's what she actually said.
And that was the real.
That sound more like a probably what.
How you gonna be here for everybody else?
Yeah. So she stayed, and you know, I thanked her for staying, and then we parted. We went our separate ways. Again, me at the time, again, emotionally not available. Just, you know, trying to figure out who I am, where I'm going, and you know, healing my heart at the time. And next thing you know, she drops in the DMs.
Still with the intention of continuing to cultivate like a friendship, mentorship. I still believe that.
So the text, the message
that
said,
DM drop.
Yeah. The message said,
I didn't have her phone number. What was it?
Well, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Because okay. It would have been creepy if you would have showed up to the workspace. Like, hi.
Hi.
Right. So,
touche.
At this time, I was just traveling, you know what I'm saying? Just like, oh, I can't really be in Ohio that much traveling. So, I'm in Florida hanging out with friends and I'm checking my messenger. And it's like, hey, I would like to know more about fitness. And just kind of wanted to see if I could take up some of your time and just, you know, kind of, I just want to put a bug in your ear. And I looked at it and smiled and kind of laughed and was just like, bug in my ear. That's kind of how I did it. And then, you know, like, you're like, what is this about? You know, and I laughed because, again, I said I was still emotionally unavailable, but for me, I was starting to get that second wind, and meaning like probably like the day before that morning I woke up and it was like the universe whispered, you're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay. And the next day I get that message from her, but also I had some other phone calls that's irrelevant at the time, but the healthier me recognized that, yo, those phone calls are not,
there was an APB rookie cycle again.
So those phone calls, you know,
the siren went out.
Yeah.
Wasn't thinking about you.
It was wild.
I saw you at the grocery store buying one thing of milk.
I know you're lonely.
Do you need somebody to fix your meals?
Yeah, see?
But yeah, like, you know, I ignored those phone calls. But yeah, I chimed back to her and said, hey, I'm out of town and would love to. And we set up some time. But what did we do? Where did we go?
No need to mention.
Because it's closed now. Yeah. However, we had a great conversation. We met up. I think it was the tacos. Yeah. Tacos, and had the conversation, and she really was asking me, you know, questions about how did I get into the industry and how am I doing it full time as a business? Because, like she said, there wasn't very many black owners in the fitness and wellness industry locally.
Right.
And so we really had a good conversation. I do remember as we were having that conversation, I'm scrolling. She's like, are you looking at my Instagram while I'm while I'm right here in front of you? And I was like, yeah.
There was a little bit of teasing. Yeah,
teasing, you know. And I was like, yeah, I just want to see about more of who you are. Walked her to the car and there was this hug. And I was just like.
Okay, but hold. So when y'all met, was the energy, was there chemistry? Because, you know, y'all sitting across from each other, you're looking at each other, you're feeling this, like, was there a vibe or was it just strictly like,
it was
just chatting right now?
It was nothing like,
a little playful.
Yeah, playful, but it wasn't like flirty.
No,
it was flirty.
No, it was true, genuine, deep, authentic conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until, you know, we walked out and then it was like, you know, as people do when you have a good conversation, you tend to hug at the end.
Yes.
And it was the hug at the end that was like, did I feel the
tingle? Yeah, like it was like, oh, look at him, almost kissed, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, did I feel the whole navel, like, tingle in my belly kind of situation?
Wow.
And I, you know, we stopped hugging.
The same.
Yeah.
Stop hugging.
It was a nice hug.
And then wow. Was just like, and she went on to her car, and I was like, yeah, don't look back. Don't look back. But we both looked back, and when we looked back, we were looking at each other, and we just, like, got in the car.
Yeah.
And things kind of just, she let me know. Oh, she sent me a text later and was like, hey, if you would like to, I'm working at the bar tonight. I'm like, is this an invitation or not? Like, I'm done with the games. You want me to come?
You want me to come or not?
Oh, no.
Come to the bar.
Right. And so she's like, no, if you know, it's an invitation.
Yeah, when you're in the service industry, you work most weekends. So
absolutely.
Like, you invite people to your show. You
yes.
invite people to your bar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I went, and I didn't even let her know that I was in the building. It was packed. And I was like, let me see how she work.
Right.
Let me see if she lazy, if she good with them hands.
You don't give them full cups of ice.
Right. But I just kind of stood in the backdrop for a second and was like, wow.
Like she hushed.
She is commanding the bar, the littlest thing back there, but she was like taking 5 and 6 orders, putting her little towel on her back, pouring, grabbing them tips, remembering. I was like, oh. Reaching up, you know, she's like 4'11", so she's reaching up, grabbing stuff, you know,
climb,
you know, and I was like, oh, well, she definitely got work ethic.
Right.
So, things just kind of, you know, I let it be known that I was there, kind of sat at the bar a little bit and drank a ginger beer.
Yeah.
Drank a ginger beer and,
wasn't a drinker, which is different. You know, you've never been a drinker.
Nah.
Which is just like everything. It was just, you talk about like opposites. I'm a drinker.
Was.
Yeah, I can't be. I can't drink like I used to.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
But you know, the older we get.
The older we get.
You yeah. realize like yeah. stuff just doesn't serve you.
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah. But you think about like when we first met, again, Dancing with Demons is the theme because everyone thinks it's like, oh, okay. It wasn't like, yes, we enjoyed each other's company, but we're very different people back then because I drank a lot and sometimes became a different person when I drank. And then when we first started seeing each other, I lived with a group of gay men and they were my relationship because mm-hmm. We had family dinners. So I wasn't seeking a relationship because I'd never really created space for it. It was my career and my friendships that mattered to me. And I didn't understand why people felt empty. Because to me, I was just like, I'm fulfilled because I have these relationships with my friends. They mean the world to me. And I kind of also viewed people in being in the relationship as like an unattainable goal for me at that point. And then I also deemed it as like a part of societal norm. And I was highly contested to the marrying, having kids, all that stuff. I just felt like it was a part of like the matrix. And I was determined to like live my life to the fullest. All my siblings say to this day, like, the best advice you gave us was to travel and not have kids. But like, I saw at a very young age, I saw how my older siblings couldn't do much because they had kids. So to me, I was just like I told her immediately, like, I'm not in here. She told me she wasn't ready for a relationship. I told her I wasn't ready for a relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, but like, I was like, I'm not relationship material. Like, mm-hmm. I have my friends. I got my work.
Oh, she let me know. She was like, when I get off of work, I got a dance jam or fitness class that I hang with my friends. Like, she gave me a whole laundry list of the reasons why nobody was going to be readily available. Right?
Oh, man.
I'm like, but I was cool with that. Because at the time, I wasn't readily available, right? And I wasn't definitely trying to just, you know, they say lesbians on second date. The U-Haul, right. And it was
nothing. But it was not that.
It was not that at all. And then, you know, things started, as we started to have more conversation. Real conversation, though. Because I would just say how I felt. And she would say how she felt. And it was just the deepest connection. It wasn't like... It was a true thing of being able to get to learn and know each other in a safe space. It wasn't because I said this, she was mad. Or because she said this, she was... Unless it was something mean, and then we would say something and say, oh, I didn't realize that.
So it seems like, seriously listening to you both talk about it, you really built a friendship.
Of pure honesty. Like, I was determined at this point in time, and though she said she had never been in relationship, I had been in many, yeah. Right? And I was like a serious monogamous, like, not to the point where I couldn't like be by myself, because I actually do really well by myself, but to the point that I was just like, you know what, God, this time, because after my last relationship, they say write it down, right? Mm-hmm. I wrote it down. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want her to be funny, adorable, pretty, blah, 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 smart. Hustler, blah, blah, blah. All the things.
All the things.
She showed up. She says she don't remember, but I remember we was just chilling one day and just laying there and being still part of my darkness. Some of the things that I love to do was have those privacy curtains. So I would have those blackout curtains in my room. It'd be 4:00. You wouldn't even know.
You would not know what time it was.
It's just like, that's where I was doing my healing, right? Mm-hmm. And so I remember, you know, I was just kind of chilling. I was watching these documentaries and movies. And I was just, at this point, I'm like, I'm open now, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like, how did you get here? Why are you here?
And she asked this question.
To her. She touches my heart and goes, I'm here to heal your heart.
Oh.
Ask her, does she remember? But see, these are the things that when you are really being used as a vessel, there is no memory.
No, there is.
Right? When you in flow state, there is no memory unless it's documented. Right? Mm. When you in flow state, it's like, even so, when you have those moments of bliss in a wedding, or when you perform it on stage, for you even, right? You don't remember every time you slap the tambourine a certain way. You just remember the feeling until you see a video.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Unless there was a video there, which it wasn't, her touching my heart, but I still can feel what it felt like when she did that. And I was just like, whoa. Someone actually saying they're here to heal my heart. Go back to 2012. I had taken this class, personal growth class, Landmark Forum, and it was 40 hours of just working on myself. Mm. I done paid lots of money for college. I done paid lots of money for business coaching and studying everybody's methodology, but I had never paid for finding out who I really am. Mm-hmm. That class left me levitating. It had me realizing that there was a lot of lies in life, and there was a lot of things I had to unlearn. But the things that I decided that I stood for in advance of that class, the advancement of Landmark, was financial freedom, time freedom, and unconditional love.
Did you know that 70% of women inside the criminal justice system are mothers? Learn more about our social enterprise that got its start inside of a women's prison. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Stay tuned with us by following us on our Instagram at mind.body.gym.podcast.